You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. We have special guests in the studio. MJ Stewart recently graduated from the University of North Carolina, who will be taking his talents to the NFL. We're very hopeful. And we've got TJ Thorpe, former UNC football star, played in the NFL, now in the CFL. But TJ, I want to start with you because I was reading about your becoming an internet sensation due to a particular move you did when you were with the Washington Redskins. Please share.
So before the game, my then girlfriend, we just had this little handshake that we used to do when we would play cornhole and stuff. And so before the game, you know, I just went over to, you know, just acknowledged she was there, thank you for coming, stuff like that. And when I was walking away, she was just like, she shouted to me and was like, hey, do the handshake, do the handshake. So I was like, seemed like cool, fine, whatever, you know. So I did it. And I didn't know that, you know, her mom was recording, or anybody was recording it for that matter. It was just something that happened. And, you know, she, you know, wanted it for her Instagram, you know, just something cute, I guess. And it kind of took off from there. I don't know how, I don't know what was tagged in it or whatever, but it's something that goes around still sometimes now. Me and her are no longer together at this point, but, you know, it was fun, you know, being like, oh, okay, now I'm like the model for the whole world on being a sports relationship. But, you know, when you're that young, you know, certain things you see eye to eye and whatever. But it was a good time. And I got picked on a lot in the locker room. Just,
sure.
You know, fun stuff. And I know everyone remembers Coach Randy Jordan. He was yes. The Redskins with me. And he would walk through, try to, like, do the handshake with me. And then some of the players, like, now all our wives want to do handshakes and all this stuff. So it was cool. It was cool. And, you know.
Well, I know it really took off. I think they said like 40, 50,000 tweets went through.
Yes.
Everybody knew about TJ in this particular moment.
Even in Canada. So it definitely spread.
Let's talk about some things that are going on in the world. There's no doubt America's at a crossroads, in particular around a lot of racial tensions. And now with the Me Too movement, in terms of women gaining confidence and the courage to speak up in terms of sexual violence and harassment. But I know you guys, football is a full-time job, and it's hard to pay attention to things that are happening right around you. And I know for some guys, they make it a priority. They schedule it in to make sure that they're keeping up with everything and they're, you know, engaged. But as college athletes, we'll go as college athletes first. It's really, really challenging because your time is so scheduled. MJ, how about if you talk a little bit about your experience and how you were able or not able to participate in things that you really would like to, but just the demands of being a college athlete?
Yes, as you like you were saying, you know, as college athletes, our schedules are very hectic. You know, so me personally, it was kind of hard for me to stay intact with what was going on in the world just because, you know, we had practice here, we had lived here, study hall, and then by that time, it's time to go to sleep unless you want 3-4 hours of sleep a night. So, you know, it's kind of hard for me, but, you know, I think, you know, with, you know, social media, Instagram, Twitter, things like that, it makes it easier for people to stay connected because I know, me personally, and I feel like a lot of college athletes in our generation now, social media is a big thing. So even with our hectic schedules, you know, we still find time to get on Twitter and Instagram, you know, so we might be scrolling down our timeline and, you know, see something that's going on. And I think social media does a good job of helping us stay informed.
How about you, TJ? So no doubt you probably had the same constraints that MJ had. And now being in the pros, whether it's NFL or CFL, it's even more demanding. And then being in another country.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit how you've been able to keep up with what's going on here or things that are happening in your towns up there.
So when I was, you know, I'll start in the NFL in D.C., obviously, with the Royal Ashburn, with the Redskins, it was kind of hard not to know because we're right in the
right
heart
there.
Of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was, you could never really tell, but they make it a point. They do a good job, especially Coach Jay Gruden of the Redskins, you know, getting everyone together and not trying to act like you know, this is not something very real in our society. So, you know, especially having different players from different walks of life and just kind of understanding, gathering, it's like, hey, you know, we're still a team. We're still a family with everything that's going on. So, you know, just making, allowing guys to get the opportunity to share their experiences of where they come from. And I think that's why you see now with a lot of the stuff that's going on, you know, you can't really speak for owners and things of that nature, but the players themselves, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, back and forth about the topics. Everybody's kind of standing solid and supporting one another. On the other side, you have, you know, in Canada and a whole other country, honestly, it's probably the nicest place I've been as far as just the people, you know, and the interactions. And, it, you know, sometimes it's a little disheartening that, you know, we in our country, as great as we are, can't be like them. And it's just, you know, just listening to how they just, like, thing in Charlottesville. You know, when that hit, I was actually getting my ankles taped to go on the field.
Wow.
And, you know, my sister lives in Charlottesville, works at UVA. And it was just one of those things, like, TJ, like, you know, what's going on down there? I'm like, I can't tell you either. And, you know, it's just one of those things, like, people look up to us as a country, and here we are doing some of the things we're doing and having some of the problems we have, and it's just, like, mind-blowing how they're night and day and we're so very close.
Well, I'm glad you brought up about the difference with Canada and the United States. Mm-hmm. I've often heard that Canada is a very special place in certain cities. It's much more open, more friendly. As much as you always want to see race because you want to celebrate and respect, but there isn't that negativity. It's just not in your face there.
Right.
And I don't know if it's just because when you bring a group of people together who don't necessarily look the same, and then that raises the respect level. It also could be the history of America with slavery, that we've never really gotten over it. And as people say, it's just evolved. It's just a different type.
Right.
But I wish that we had the ability in America to send every, I'll say maybe 11th or 12th grader outside of the country so they can see other cultures,
right,
learn other languages and respect. Because we are so isolated in our country in the sense that most people never even travel outside their state. Yep. Let alone go to another country.
And that's the beautiful part that I like about Canada, because when you ask someone who's an undergrad, like, you know, the common person is 23, 24, just starting out school.
That's right.
And they're, you know, coming in from, you know, China, America, you know, Africa, things of those places, like a regular, what we would consider African American here, like, we stick out like a sore thumb there just because, you know, everybody's, you know, a different walk of life, and we're like, oh, well, I've never seen this, you know, whatever. And it's just great.
Well, that's a great comment, and we'll pick that up right after the break. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. You're back with If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're talking with MJ Stewart and TJ Thorpe, former football players and students here at the University of North Carolina. So, MJ, let's pick up our conversation around protests, around racial tensions, what's going on in America. Certainly Colin Kaepernick being named, just an amazing guy. Muhammad Ali, Sportsman of the Year Award with Sports Illustrated. Many people thought that he should have been the Time Magazine Man of the Year. I'm sure he was a finalist. Talk a little bit about how you're handling and navigating this whole thing around racial tensions. I've always believed, when I think about my teammates, and most of them were white, how we have a sisterhood. And when we were out on the court and not on the court, we respect, we love each other, and we have close friendships today. And we know the importance of how sport can bring people together in that. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about your experience and navigating race relations today.
Well, I know, well, in our locker room with the Colin Kaepernick situation, I know a lot of us were divided on which side that, you know, we wanted to go on. But, you know, like you said, when we get to the football field, you know, those problems really don't matter because we're all a brotherhood. And I think, you know, Coach Fedor, he does a good job of, you know, he calls team meetings sometimes just for us to talk about issues, you know. He allows, you know, it to be a free space for anybody to say anything. And there's no, you know, there's no judging, you know, because we're all brothers in that free space, in that meeting room, you know. So Coach Fedor does a good job of that and just, you know, making us aware of problems and not acting like those problems don't exist. So
how about you, TJ? Any help from coaches or teammates in this space?
Well, I can speak to, you know, what some of the things that Coach Fedor would do. That have helped me, or he prepped us for, that have helped me down the road. And, you know, just kind of speaking to what initially, you know, Colin Kaepernick kind of took that knee for, with the, you know, the inequality and the, you know, the police, you know, shootings here and there. And it was just a simple traffic stop, me and an officer, and just like the little things, like have both hands on the wheel or cut a light on, you know, so the officer would feel more safe, things like that, that, you know, it was just a regular training camp meeting, but that was one thing that always stuck with me. And one, it actually got me out of a ticket, which was a good thing.
There you go.
But, you know, just having that mutual respect for another person just doing their job, and that, you know, that helped me. But, you know, moving forward to the Colin Kaepernick side of things, it's funny because, you know, I feel like somewhere in the conversation, the true meaning of what he was taking his knee for kind of got misconstrued and changed up. Mm-hmm. And eventually you could kind of see it fizzle out. And it just, you know, it's sad that, you know, things like that that are really important, that, you know, we really had the opportunity to move on, move forward with, and really drive that point home, kind of got lost in some of the smoke and mirrors.
Absolutely. I think there's no doubt that Colin Kaepernick moved the needle, but we need more action, and in particularly around structural issues, and that's what the black NFL players were asking. It's about making policy changes and legislation that will help our community exist and thrive in America. There are a lot of challenges, and we're very, very thankful that we have leaders like Colin who would sacrifice. I've spoken to people who say, well, he's just not that good. But when you have NFL coaches and general managers saying that guy can play, that he deserves to be out on the field, so he clearly is making a big sacrifice. The other thought is whether or not athletes should use their platform. I always laugh and giggle, you know, just because you're a football player or a star athlete that you – are you supposed to lose your ability to speak out? You're not a citizen anymore. So your platform is definitely should be used in those things that you value. Mm-hmm. MJ, you'll be going into the league, hopefully. You'll probably be asked to speak up on some things. Have you thought yet? Have you put together whether or not you're going to be behind the scenes a little bit more, or you're going to join the older, more confident guys out there who will make a stand? Have you thought about it?
It really honestly just depends on, you know, what the topic is and, you know, what I am supporting, you know, because it's a lot of things that, you know, I support that, you know, I'm not going to be out front with, but there are some things that I think that are very important that I support that I know I need to speak up, you know, and I like to think of, you know, problems in the U.S. as, you know, a game of telephone, you know, because like TJ was saying, they always, you know, go from what the true meaning was, and they always fizzle out just in the game of telephone. Like, you know, a word starts on one side of the room, and then when it gets to the opposite side of the room, it's a totally different word, totally different sentence. So I like to think of problems in the U.S. just like that, not saying they're a game, but just the concept of how, you know, they start one way and end up a totally different way.
So for our older listening audience, you call it telephone. We call it whisper down the lane.
Okay.
What?
That's right. You start out with this phrase, and by the time it gets down, whispering, and then it ends up into something else. TJ, how about you? Have you had a chance to speak out yet, or are you pretty much behind the scenes?
Being, like I said, when everything started, you know, happening, I was in Canada. I didn't really have, you know, much going on. I know they did a little promotion in Canada as far as strength and diversity, which, you know, everyone kind of stood together, and some teams up there actually took a knee. Wow. As well. But it, for me, it was one of those things that if I could, I would. And I mean, I still can in some form or way. This is doing that. But I just feel like, you know, people with the platform, athletes, all of us, you know, so many people, we influence so many others, whether it's the youth, you know, other peers, adults, things of that nature, that I feel like it should be something that it's like a requirement almost, like you're required to, you know, if you want to play at UNC, you got to play special teams. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be an athlete, someone, an influential figure, whether, I mean, it doesn't mean you have to go with what everybody else is doing, but if that's what you are and that's what you want to do, then I feel like, you know, that's what our troops fight for, is for us to be able to have the freedom to say and do, you know, the things that we believe and stand for.
Right, and just going off that, you know, I would just like to encourage everybody who's watching, just or listening, excuse me, just to not be afraid to, you know, speak out. Don't be afraid of the scrutiny that might come. You know, if you really believe in an issue and you really stand for an issue, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's great advice. Great for our listening audience. Spoken from two very confident guys who've had a lot of success. We'll be right back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with TJ Thorpe and MJ Stewart. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're back with MJ Stewart and TJ Thorpe, former college football stars here at the University of North Carolina. MJ, I know you're just starting your professional career, but I know you've been planning life after football. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what you want to do after your football career.
Well, my plans are, you know, God willing, I get into the league, you know, and I plan to use that platform to start my own fitness gym. I've always been a big, you know, fitness guy. I love training, but more than that, I love seeing, you know, my body and myself develop. I love seeing the gradual development of myself and my skills, you know, and I love seeing that of other people who are working with me too. So, you know, that's kind of how I got the idea to, you know, get a fitness gym, you know, just to make a positive impact on, you know, people who might want to, you know, see their body change or, you know, just get a workout in, you know. So that's kind of something I'm doing. And me and my father are also starting a youth foundation, a nonprofit youth foundation called the MSMJ Youth Foundation. And we actually this past Thanksgiving, we gave out our first scholarship.
Great.
Which was a very big, you know, milestone for us, kind of a jumping off point platform for us. So, you know, that's pretty cool. So, you know, I plan to, you know, in the future, put those two entities together and, you know, make something special and make a difference.
So where was the first scholarship given? Back home?
Yes, it was back home. It was a contest and back in my hometown, we have something called the Turkey Bowl. And the Turkey Bowl has been, you know, it's been around for, I want to say like 50 plus years, you know.
Wow.
And it's just a chance for, you know, my community to get together. And, you know, it's a game of tackle football, you know, men and women play. You know,
oh.
So they have a women's game and they have a men's game, and they like to say it's called the old heads versus the young guns. So, you know, all the old heads in the community get together and all the young guns get together and they play tackle football, no pads, no anything. But and the women do the same, and it's a really fun event that, you know, the whole community comes out for. You know, even people who move away, you know, come back to watch the Turkey Bowl. So, the contest was whoever can, you know, write up an essay on just the history and what the Turkey Bowl means to them. Whoever wrote the best, you know, would receive the scholarship. So
excellent. How about you, TJ? Life after football.
So for me, I've just been, at first it was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to stay around the sport, not, things of that nature. And I ultimately decided I wanted to be in the personnel department and scouting, just because of some of my experiences going through the recruiting process, switching schools and things that I learned through the process, you never really get to hear the player side of things.
That's
it's
right.
Always kind of perception. We meet with you, we talk to you about something completely different and see if we can meet in the middle somewhere. And I just always wanted to, you know, I understand about injuries and how they derail, but, you know, some guys who are at home, who would love to be in the NFL, who have more than enough talent and capabilities, never really get that fair shake that, you know, they work so hard for. And just me kind of going through it and actually getting an opportunity and still being able to live my dream of playing football and do the, you know, having fun still while I can. You know, just something that I wanted to be able to give back and help out and, you know, add in my knowledge about that. And then hopefully one day moving up into the general management side of things. You know, it's always been my dream to make decisions on drafting. I used to play with it on Madden and draft players and all that stuff and you know, and negotiate contracts and things of that nature. So just being able to, you know, stay around the sport was a big thing for me. And, you know, I took a, you know, sports management worldwide, took a class, online class, where I got to speak to, you know, a few guys, read some good, you know, literature on the subjects and then ultimately expand my net a little more. So right now that's what I'll be doing. And me and some of my friends are, you know, just talking part-time about maybe trying to grab a few properties real estate-wise. So mm-hmm.
Always yeah. Good. Well, I know you two will do very well. Great athletes, elite athletes, a lot of confidence, and I know you're going to take that confidence into your world of entrepreneurship. So I wish you all the best. We will definitely stay in touch, and go Heels. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. Very, very blessed to have MJ Stewart and TJ Thorpe with us today.